Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman, the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web. We invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's guest is Ellen Jovin, creator of the Words and Worlds of New York website, a unique resource for people seeking to enrich their travel experiences by learning a bit of the local language before arriving. And of course, this sounds great, but who has the time to take a class and learn a new language with everything else we have to do, responsibilities, work, family? So Ellen is here to offer tips to help busy people teach themselves. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you very much for having me, Stacey.
So now, you studied plenty of languages when you were coming up and building the Words and Worlds of New York site. How did you learn so many, and is it possible for people to learn them all?
Well, I've studied 17 over the last 4 years, but I don't speak 17. You may not be surprised to hear that as I study a new one, I tend to forget pieces of the old. But the point is, this is sort of an experiment in how you can go about, let's say you want to learn one language, how you can go about fitting that into your life and making it work for you. My working thesis is that most adults cannot commit realistically to an ongoing class at, 7 p.m. on Mondays and Wednesdays. That just doesn't work for them. It certainly doesn't work for me. So the experiment is, can you do this without a class and without a teacher? And my answer is, yes, you can, because there are so many resources now, especially with the web. And you just have to build the right format for yourself using Teach Yourself products that are available out there.
So, Ellen, is that what you did when you were traveling or you were going to a new place, learning bits and pieces, like enough to get by, to order food and ask where a bathroom might be? Is that what you kind of committed yourself to do? The most important things, you got to eat and you got to go. So you have to know what those things are.
That's right, and it's funny, a lot of times in these Teach Yourself products, those are the first things you learn. How to manage your hotel, how to eat, where the bathroom is. Those are really critical phrases. I tend to want to be able to do a lot more than that. So I'm not really happy with that. I also feel like if you learn just those basic things, it's helpful, but probably anyone listening to this has had the experience of starting to speak to someone in their language, and then they assume that you know a million more things and go rattling off and you have no idea what they're saying. So
right.
I like to take it a little bit further so I can speak about things more exciting than toilets. What I did was, first of all, I went to the library. I mean, a lot of times these are just free things that are in your community that you don't even think of, but they tend to have language learning products. So I started out going there, and I found things that I kind of liked. I found things I didn't like, and then I ended up researching using the internet. And I have done what I consider my role to be is to find what works and what doesn't work. And I've tested out things from all different kinds of companies, and I review them on my website so that people who, say, want to go learn French or want to go learn Italian or Hindi can go to my website and scan the reviews for products that I've tried out for those things, and they don't have to use the bad ones. They can just go with the good ones and be more efficient.
And how does doing that and learning a little bit here and there and learning enough to maybe carry a conversation with a local person, I was going to ask you how that can enhance your travel experience? You're not just doing maybe the touristy things or learning about this monument or that monument. You might be able to take a sneak peek, right, into the local history.
That's right. I personally don't like being helpless when I go to another country, and I don't like feeling totally ignorant. So the phrases, like getting familiar with the writing system, getting familiar with the way some of the words on the signs look, and this is true even if it's a completely different writing system, you can get some access and get some communication skills, and then you are no longer at the mercy of the tour guide. You know, you don't have to, you can go running off on your own a little bit more. You're less likely to be paying triple what you're supposed to be paying for certain services and products. Less likely to be taken advantage of. But most important, you have access to the people in a way that you don't. I see a lot of people that you wouldn't without the language. I see a lot of people traveling who are just being shepherded around in large groups, you know, and told they get taken around to the obvious tourist attractions. I don't like to travel that way. I like to pick my own, you know, visits, my own itinerary, and I like to talk to people who actually live there. And they're, you know, in a lot of countries, they are really delighted if you make an effort to learn their language. Americans have an unfortunate reputation of being pretty monolingual and English-focused and expecting when they go someplace that people are just going to speak to them in English, which is often how it works. But if you go the little extra step, you may be amazed at the generous gestures that you, you know, maybe someone will invite you over to dinner and or take you, you know, on their own special neighborhood tour because you will have made already that beginning effort to cross over and understand something of their language and culture.
Right, and there's that connection there. It's on a completely different level than tour guide and tourist. And I think that is important for people to get to really enrich your experience. I mean, who wants to just, you know, go? Now, here's a question. Is it true that in France, the French hate it when you speak the language?
I have always heard that. I've heard that a million times, and my experience there was not that. It's not a scientific study. It's my own personal experience, but I felt as though people were very receptive. Now, what they may not like, I don't know. It's possible that sometimes people go over there and, you know, maybe there's a little too much butchering going on. Here's the thing. There's an unfortunate tendency, I think, to think you are ready to go in a language when you know, like, you learn how to order a taco and you think you speak Spanish. I've encountered that a bit. So I think if you have to make sure that you're aware of your limitations and that there's sort of an underlying respect for the complexity of the language that you don't know and of the culture that you don't know. But I think if you go into it with the right attitude, people are mostly happy that you at least tried. I mean, I don't know. I always feel like people are happy that I tried. And it's even more true in countries where not that many people bother. You know, like, for example, when I was studying Polish or Irish, and those I actually didn't test out in Poland and Ireland, but I did test them out in neighborhood. You know, I tested out Polish in neighborhoods in New York where there are a lot of Polish-speaking people, and they were really happy and receptive. I mean, it was incredible, and to get this kind of connection to a community that, frankly, I didn't even know existed in my own backyard. There's a very big Polish community here. So, I mean, I think this is part of the point too, that you can have a travel, you can have a travel experience overseas, but you may also be able to have it, you know, in your own city, in neighborhoods that you haven't spent time in, and really open your eyes to the world that's right in your backyard.
Now, Ellen, if you could suggest one language, like we are talking a little bit about Italian and French, and of course those are Romance languages, and they're all derived from Latin, so they're similar in terms of the words. I think that if you know the word for bathroom, you know it. You know, it's pretty close. Like, you can kind of figure that out. If people just wanted to delve into one language and really get a handle on it, because they're going, what would you recommend?
Do you mean besides the Romance languages, or are you allowing me to include those in my selection?
Oh, I'm allowing you. I just thinking that in my mind, because I actually myself, I majored in French and took it, ended up taking about 6 years of the language, but it's been, you know, 15 years or so since I've used it or practiced it so much. But I found it to be very simple to understand the other languages as well. So I was thinking, well, I mean, if someone just has time or just wants to put their effort into learning one, Spanish might be a great one, because you can kind of branch off into other languages from that understanding.
You know what, though? This is the thing. I feel as though people think a little too practically sometimes about the language choice. So Spanish is really practical. If your heart is in another language, you know, if your heart is in learning Thai or learning an indigenous language somewhere that not that many people speak, I think that is exactly what you should go for. There, a lot of times I hear people discouraging their friends and family, you know, oh, why are you bothering to learn that? No one speaks that, especially among some of the language nuts that I know, their loved ones do not understand why they pursue what they pursue. But you never can, you can't account for what one person's individual interests are going to be. You know, so if you want to learn Swahili, you go for it. It might be a little bit harder, you know, to find materials, but they exist, and than it is for Spanish. You know, obviously you can get like 5 million
right.
products for Spanish.
Yeah.
But I think that it's, for me, what I've done throughout my language studies with this ongoing project is pick the language that that floated my boat in the particular moment, and that made it fun. So don't do it for, don't think, oh, I want to go for the one that has 300 million speakers. You know, if you want to go for the one that has 25, that's awesome. And I also, one other thing, I think that there's something really magical about picking a language. If you're interested, you always have to be interested first, picking a language with a different writing system. I began with Russian because I'd never studied a language that didn't have, wasn't based in the Latin alphabet that's so familiar to English speakers. And that was the one that made me think, wow, so anything is possible. If I can penetrate this Russian alphabet, which I did on my own, then, you know, that means that all these other languages, even though they look kind of scary in print, they can be part of my world too.
Well, I think for one, myself, that learning a language is something that everybody should do. You're right. Here in America, we're just so focused on English. And as the years go on, I think that the school systems are learning that, and they're adapting more, like language learning at a younger age. And it's different from when I was in school, or maybe when you were in school so much. But I think it is important. And I know that you have so many tools, right? Tools and resources on your website. So I want to let the listeners know that you can find out much, much more about Ellen's language learning tips and product reviews and this journey that she's on. And you could do so on her website, Words and World of New York, but that could be found at ellenjovin.com. And that is J-O-V-I-N, ellenjovin.com. So keep looking back, because Ellen is constantly adding new information, resources, and languages. And just wanted to thank you one more time, Ellen, for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm, Annie Jennings PR, the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine. Jennings Wire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit JenningsWire.com and discover the blogger that is just right for you. Till next time.